Grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus, the rock of our salvation. From Psalm 18, the second verse, we read these words this morning. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. As children growing up in our home, we had a copy of a book of biblical illustrations by Gustave Doré. And these black and white prints just absolutely fascinated me as a child, because they played a large part for me in bringing Bible stories to life in a very visual way. You know, Bible stories I had learned in church and Sunday school and from my parents, and these drawings brought them to life. But there was one of these drawings in particular that made just a huge impression on my mind. And the title of this drawing is The Deluge. It depicts the great flood of Noah and some of the last holdouts on earth doing their best to stay alive. And in the drawing, we see a few young people up at the top of the rock, along with a tiger and her cubs, and just below them, a few other people who are clamoring to get to the top of that rock in a last desperate bid to escape the rising floodwaters. But of course, it's too late, and their fate is sealed. The door of the ark has been shut. And for everyone on that horrible day who is not inside the ark, there is no place of refuge. There is no Gibraltar upon which they can stand and be safe from the storm. There was no rock of salvation that day. For as the Bible tells us in Genesis 7 verse 20, the waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 15 cubits. And that's what always made this scene so tragic in my mind. These poor souls are clinging to the only thing they know to cling to, hoping against hope that this rock will be their salvation, only then to be swept away by the raging torrent of watery judgment. I recall as a child looking at this picture, and I created in my imagination a backstory for these people that we see here. I imagined that these people had built their lives on the slopes of this rock, this mountain. And it was seemingly, for many years, a very wise choice that they made for the protection that their mountain, their colossal citadel of granite, afforded them. Whenever the rains were heavy and the rivers beneath them flooded, they stayed high and dry on their mountainside perch. When marauding bands waged war against them, the formidable slopes of their mountain stronghold provided them a natural defense. And when drought afflicted the region, the melting snow caps of their mountain ensured that they always had a copious flow of clean, fresh water. The mountain was their rock. It had always been there for them. It had always saved them. Until the great day of the Lord. And no doubt, as the rains began to fall, I imagined in my mind, these people were not concerned because they had their rock. And when the waters rose even up to their doorsteps, higher than it had ever risen before, they figured they would simply climb a little higher and they would be okay. But as they climbed higher and higher, and the water kept chasing them upward, eventually came the realization that not even their mountain, not even their rock could save them this time. Their faith had been misplaced, and now they would face the judgment. To this very day, this tragedy of Doré's The Deluge is playing out over and over again in people's lives. as they look for some kind of a rock to which they can cling, something solid that they can stand on. We all need a rock in our lives. We all need that one thing that is strong and solid and unchanging. That thing that gives stability to life. That place of refuge and safety from the raging storm. And some people will find their rock in a spouse or in a family. I've heard so many times a man will say of his wife, "She is my rock." Or, "My family is the one thing I can count on." Others will seek a rock for their lives in their government, in their princes and in their presidents, and hopefully steady personalities and solid policies. Still others will find a rock in the security of wealth, in their investments in stocks and bonds that have historically been the bedrock of our economy. And many others will find their rock in the pursuit of health, in those workouts that give them those rock-hard abs and those bolder shoulders that make everyone go, ooh and ah. And for a while, anyway, it seems like these rocks stand you in good stead. Until, and I think I've seen this happen 1,000 times in people's lives, their family was their rock until disease or death takes away that someone special who was your rock. And only then did you remember the words of God, "Though father and mother forsake me, the Lord will hold me close." You thought the government was a rock until your prince or your president was out of power and their policies were replaced. And only then did you remember God's word, "Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save." Wealth was your rock until your investments tanked and took a huge bite out of your retirement portfolio, and you had forgotten what God had said in His Word. "Keep your lives free from the love of money. For God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." Your health, you thought you were a rock with your great health, until you discovered that even the most beautifully chiseled physique cannot forever stave off old age or disease or death. As Scripture says, maybe you forgot this, "My flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart, my portion forever." And there comes that day for all of us when we realize that whatever that rock was that we thought was so solid in our lives, that it always been there for you, suddenly one day that rock is powerless to help you. You climb that mountain as high as you can, but still the flood waters of change and decay and death keep rising until there is no rock left anymore, and it's just you and God. And since it's coming down to that anyway, God in His Word makes a strong appeal to you, and He says through His prophet Isaiah in chapter 26, "Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock." Today we begin National Lutheran Schools Week. And with people of our sister congregations and schools all around the Missouri Synod, our church body today, our faith responds to this appeal of God. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies." That confession of the psalmist is upon our lips this morning, because we recognize that not only is the Lord our rock that we all need in life, But he is also the one who lifts us up in his forgiving grace to stand us upon that rock. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 40. He said, "He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand." And that rock is Christ. That rock is Christ. Those who were blessed to interact with Jesus during his earthly ministry saw in him more than a two-dimensional picture of a rock. They were blessed to find refuge in him. Those who had leprous skin, blind eyes and deaf ears and wounded limbs took refuge in that rock. Those who grieved, whose hearts were broken, took refuge in that rock. Those who were rejected by their peers or burdened with their guilt and knew that they deserved only the wrath of God took refuge in that rock. Those frightened and miserably failed disciples took refuge in that rock. And when it appeared as if that rock itself had been crushed on Good Friday, the rock was rolled away from the tomb, and Jesus, the crucified and now living Lord, became the rock for all ages. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, the rock of our salvation, our refuge and strength. And Peter's great confession of Christ, or after Peter's confession of Christ as the Son of the living God, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And now, here we are in word and sacrament, in that church, his church, which continues to be a rock of refuge for all of us. So that when you feel the floodwaters rising up and feeling like you might be overwhelmed soon, come here. Come here to the Rock of Ages. When you experience the guilt of conscience or the burdens of heart, when family and money and government and health have failed you, when the world has rejected you, or the pressures of society or of schedule weigh you down, as you face any enemy of your faith that would seek to separate you from the love of God in Christ and sweep you away, come here to his church and stand again upon the everlasting rock. Because unlike that rock in Dore's drawing, that could not save, Jesus is the rock of our salvation that will never fail you, against which even the gates of hell shall not prevail. The Lord is my rock. We read in Isaiah chapter 43, "Thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overwhelm you. For I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, am your Savior, I am your rock." In the blessed, holy name of Jesus, the rock of our salvation, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.